The following podcast is a production of American University Washington College of Law. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
This is Steve Wormale from American University Washington College of Law, and I'm here with Paul Williams, a professor at the law school and founder of the Public International Law and Policy Group. And we're talking to Professor Williams about his recent time in Iraq, working with the Iraqis on the drafting of the new constitution. Let's start with some practical details. When were you there? Where were you? How did the process actually work? What were you doing?
Well, I was part of a team of five lawyers and international relations experts who were deployed to the Green Zone in Baghdad, and then Carol O'Leary with the American University Center for Global Peace, who was deployed up in Erbil in Kurdistan, and we were advising the chair of the Constitution Drafting Committee on the constitutional process. We were providing comparative analysis, draft language, technical expertise for the chair and the other members of the committee throughout the month of July, there on the ground, and then back here in Washington throughout August on the constitutional process.
And this is part of a larger effort that you've been engaged in for several years now?
Yes. Here at American University, we have the Public International Law and Policy Program, and it works in cooperation with the Public International Law and Policy Group to provide pro bono legal assistance to states drafting constitutions or involved in peace negotiations. We've had students involved in over a dozen peace negotiations from Bosnia, Kosovo, Armenia, Somalia, and now with drafting the Constitution in Iraq.
So you've had these experiences in places all over the world that most of us could only imagine. Was this the most challenging?
This was one of the most challenging, but also one of the most rewarding. One of the interesting elements of the crisis in Iraq is that the Iraqis themselves were very clear with us in the beginning that they wanted to build an Iraq for all Iraqis. When we've been in situations such as Bosnia and Kosovo, the parties developed these bizarre mechanisms such as rotating presidencies, ethnic set-asides, ethnic vetoes. You'll notice in the Iraqi constitution there is none of that. So it was more refreshing, but it was also difficult because if you're trying to craft a constitution for such a heterogeneous society as Iraq, you have to spend a lot of energy and time looking at other types of constitutions, what's worked and what hasn't worked. And quite frankly, are there no real good examples in the neighborhood for them to build on?
What are the strengths of the new constitution? What are the principal features?
Well, the principal features of the new constitution are that it's democratic, it focuses on human rights, and it genuinely tries to balance all of the interests of the parties, the political parties, as well as the other different types of interests within Iraq. They have installed probably the most democratic, or I could say the most democratic, type of structure, everything from the electoral process to the nature of representation to the powers and the authorities of the parliament vis-a-vis the president. So they've got a very, very strong democratic foundation. They also have a very extensive list of precise human rights. Now, they're nuanced, given the political and historical culture in Iraq, but they do have a very clear listing of human rights, and they've developed mechanisms such as a constitutional court, a human rights commission, to ensure the enforcement of those. They've also undertaken a number of innovative means for instance, respecting Islam. They provide for some role for Islam in the governing structure of Iraq, but it's nowhere near, you know, the theocratic approach of the Iranians or of the purely secular approach of a number of other countries. So I think they've actually balanced that tipping point quite well.
What, as a constitutional law teacher myself, I can't resist, I suppose, how did the U.S. Constitution, your knowledge of it and experience with it, help in this process in Iraq?
It was very interesting that there were two elements of the U.S. constitutional process which played a role. One was it was very useful to work with the Iraqis on the American constitutional process, because frequently Americans and other internationals will say, well, look, adopt the American style, adopt the Canadian style. And there actually was competition by some of the trainers who'd been brought in from the other countries, other federal countries, to, you know, adopt our model. And what the Iraqis were more interested in is how did the process work in the United States? And quite frankly, we told them, you know, look, the Continental Congress came up with the Articles of Confederation first, and then they had to have a do-over down the road to move into a federal structure as opposed to a confederal structure. That was very comforting for the Iraqis. We also spoke with the Iraqis about how the American constitutional principles had evolved over the last 200 years, and that you draft a constitution for the next 200 years, you don't draft it to settle the political disputes of the day. And I think you'll see that in the Iraqi constitution. It is very forward-thinking, and in that sense, it's modeled after the American constitution.
I mean, that's really one of the kind of geniuses of the American constitution that's been a very hard thing for other nations to grasp. So it's interesting that may have worked here.
And it worked here because the Iraqis were at one point, almost seduced by the types of immediate political compromise that have given rise to some of the other West European type of constitutions or post-Soviet constitutions. And having them look at the American Constitution and the fact that you're creating a living document and you're creating institutions, which are the foundation for democracy and pluralism, it's not the words you put in the document, it's the institutions which are created by that document, which is one reason why they have a constitutional court. They have a standalone constitutional court for the specific purpose of evolving this document to meet the upcoming needs of the Iraqi government.
And so, speaking of those institutions, is there a power of judicial review in that constitutional court similar to our system?
Yes, they have two courts. They have a court of cassation, which is the highest court of review for criminal and civil matters, and then they have a separate constitutional court. They call it a federal Supreme Court, and it has very active judicial review of the acts of Parliament. And individuals can bring cases to this court, as well as individual parliamentary members. So it's a melding of the European constitutional courts and then our American Supreme Court, but it melds the benefits of both, and so you've got a double opportunity for constitutional review.
All right. Are there obvious weaknesses of this constitution that you would like to point out? Or?
One of the concerns with the constitution is that it was put together in such a tight time frame. So although you do have the principles embedded in the Constitution, some of the mechanics may not flow so easily in the near term. So clearly this Constitution will walk, but there is some concern that it may not run. The Parliament will spend a lot of time in the next 2 years amending this Constitution to fix the mid-level and the minor issues. It's important that they do that, because this is more of a general framework agreement or a political compact, and less of a precise legalistic document. And that's just the nature of a short time frame post-conflict while there's an insurgency.
I guess one other specific question that's intriguing is that I think our constitutional law students' eyes glaze over when we talk about federalism. So it's particularly interesting to see there being this kind of struggle over central power versus regional power in the forming of this Constitution.
This was the core dispute among the parties to the Constitution. And there were two very dynamic elements of it. One is that the Kurds were insisting upon an asymmetrical federal structure to preserve their rights and privileges in the north. The Sunnis were insisting upon a unitary state with devolved power to local entities. And the Shia were insisting upon have the Kurds with asymmetrical, but then allow us to create our own Shia federation in the south within a federated Iraq. And this is what probably 50 to 60% of the negotiating time was spent wrangling with this issue of federalism. There were a number of other individuals involved in this process from Canada, from India, from South Africa. And you could also see how the focus of their state structure and their political dialogue really did revolve around federalism. And I think you will see that in the coming years in Iraq as well.
And I assume that you're hoping or optimistic that this constitution will be approved and will go into effect.
Yes, there will be a referendum on October 15th, and it's fairly clear that there will be majority support for the constitution, that those that are opposed to it don't have the concentrated population to exercise the veto the way in which it's provided for in the transitional administrative law. But the real concern is if it passes on 60 or 65%. You really need a constitution to pass by 80, 85%. This is not simply a vote. It's not a referendum. It's not the majority versus the minority. This is the formation of the basis for the Iraqi political interaction for the next 100 years. I'm confident they will get support. I'm hopeful they will get overwhelming support for this Constitution.
Let me just conclude by going back to where we started, some of the personal details. What was it like being in the Green Zone? Did you feel safe? Did you feel threatened by the insurgency? What was your day-to-day routine like?
It was a very interesting dynamic. I had assumed that the Green Zone would have a large wall around it, and it would be this Casablanca type of environment with inside. But I was very surprised at how locked down things were within the Green Zone. There was a wall around the entire Green Zone. Every building inside the Green Zone had a wall around it. We had armed guards at all times. We drove around in an armored SUV, not only getting in from the airport, but around the Green Zone. Two of our clients, two of the SUNY members, were assassinated while we were there. There was an attack at the checkpoint, a car bomb and two suicide bombers while we were there. The Constitutional Committee was clearly the target for a period of time of the focus of the insurgency. So in other cases where we've worked with the Bosnians during the Dayton peace negotiations, which is at the Wright-Patterson Air Base, or with the Kosovars at the Rambouillet Chateau, this was clearly a different working environment. But it gave you an appreciation for the everyday crises that are facing the Iraqis. And sort of being there for a very brief period of time in their shoes allowed us, I think, the opportunity to enhance the legal assistance that we were giving, because we were able to better understand the daily crisis that they are facing.
Do you expect to have to go back and help the Iraqis with the process of fine-tuning the implementation and amending the Constitution?
The Iraqis have been very interested and have asked us already if we could begin to help them draft or do comparative analyses of implementing legislation. They have a provision for a constitutional court, but they're going to need implementing legislation for their court. They're going to need rules of procedure. They've asked us to look at some issues relating to the central bank. There's a provision for a central bank, but they're going to need to stand it up from scratch. And so myself and the students here at American University, I anticipate, will be deeply involved in the coming year in providing assistance with drafting implementing legislation.
Well, thank you, Paul. I think a remarkable experience, and thank you for sharing it with us.
Great. Thank you, Steve.